You are listening to the Evolvepreneur After Hours show, and I'm your host, Richard Ray. My mission is to help entrepreneurs make a difference and navigate the messy world of startup or relaunch, commonly called a pivot. Join me today where we dig deep with our guest and get you the best concepts and strategies to fast-track your business. Today's special guest is Zach Ullman. Zach comes from a farming background in Indiana, but harbored dreams of traveling the world. Developing and using his skills as a valuation consultant, he has achieved that and helped people and organizations in over 20 countries. Today, we are talking about You Can Have It All. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's an honor to be here, my friend.
Now, it's really great to have you here, Zach, but as I ask all my guests, Zach, where in the world are you?
Today, I'm coming live from Medellin, Colombia.
Oh, wow. That's a very, very interesting part of the world.
Is one of my favorites. So we came here. This is our first country on the tour, the 3.5 year tour, and we loved it so much. We just came back.
Well, fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Right, let's get into this. So tell us a little bit about your history. So you've traveled the world, you've done interesting things, but you started on a farm in Indiana. Tell me all about this.
Yeah, and so, you know, growing up in a small farming town in Indiana, that's all I wanted. I love farming. I love work. I love driving tractors. My dad died when I was 12, and it became a have to as opposed to a get to, just to keep the family farm going. So I was working before school, after school. And, you know, that was all I could envision, right? That was it. And then I graduated high school and it was like, oh, this isn't it, right? There's more to life. There's more to life. And, you know, I got really, I had a passion for travel. I wanted to, just drive my van. I had an old van. I just wanted to drive across America and, you know, work and make money, go to the next town, work and make money. But I didn't because I felt an obligation to my family to just keep the farm going. And so, you know, I had this idea. I want to make money. I want to travel the world. I want to help people. And I picked up a book by Peter Lynch. It was about, he's a mutual fund manager. And I started understanding money and businesses and things like that. And, I figured, oh my God, we can make a lot of money. There's an opportunity to make money because money was always a challenge growing up. Mm-hmm. And so, I asked around and people said, well, you need to go to college for that. And so I went down that route, graduated at top of my class from Indiana University with a degree in finance and business. And I graduated in 2008, and if anybody remembers that was a rough time in the global financial crisis. And so I was, this fresh guy out of college with absolutely zero experience, competing against Lehman Brothers executives that got fired, Morgan Stanley, all these guys. And I sent out 3,500 resumes over about,
Can you just say that number again so people can hear that? You sent out how many resumes?
3,500.
Wow.
I wanted to be in the finance sector so bad. And, I was working on the farm on the weekends to make money. I took a job in Chicago working for a real estate investor, and I was working for free. I did that for a year. So I was driving 200 miles round trip every day and, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, borrowing money from my mom. To pay for gas and, just so I could get that experience on my resume. I took that and went down to that experience, got a job working at the Chicago Board of Trade as a commodities broker. Worked there for an entire year, made zero money because I wasn't a sales guy. I learned a lot there. And then I finally, I call it career paid job, was a valuation consultant for a little boutique firm out in Chicago suburbs. And she got one of my resumes and she said, Zach, your resume, because what I did was I faxed it. I faxed the 3,500 people instead of sending it through all the electronic. I did it old school. And she goes, your resume has been sitting on my desk for 6 months. I want you to come out for an interview. And so I went out there and I was just super honest with her. I said, I'll work for free. I want to prove myself.
You were priced to sell, basically.
I was priced to sell. She goes, I'm not going to make you work for free, but it was like, 30 grand. And so I just took it and I just grabbed on and I studied and, valuation. I didn't even know what the job was, but it's very high end theoretical finance. I valued everything from, human capital, software, hybrid debt. And I just became a master at it, digging in the books, you know, getting there at 6 a.m, leaving at midnight. And, you know, I really impressed everyone and, you know, did very well, worked my way up into one of the best companies in the world for it, became a published author in there, had the 6-figure compensation with all the bells and whistles. And, you know, a little bit into that stint, it was the most depressing time of my life because it was like, I just got everything I wanted and I wasn't fulfilled.
Yes.
You know, the chase was fun. And then you get there and it's like, this is it.
Yeah.
And it was a tough time for me. And, you know, I dealt with that and, you know, I talked to some friends and colleagues and they said, have you ever thought about starting your own business, becoming a real estate investor? Mm-hmm. And I took that route, you know, became successful at that, quit my job. And, you know, that's what we focus on today is, you know, buying real estate and parlayed that into a private equity firm where we buy businesses and help people scale their businesses as well. And so that's how I spend my time today.
So it sounds like you're the classic example of somebody that I like to describe as talent can come from anywhere. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is. Talent can literally come from anywhere. When you're going through those early days of saying, hey, I want to do these things that are completely unrelated to farming, I want to try something different. Did you get a lot of pushback from people around you?
Oh, tons of pushback. You know, I had, you know, it was sort of expected to go to college. You know, either go to college or in the workforce. Almost all of my friends went into the workforce. They're either, you know, blue collar type jobs, farming jobs.
And this is a farming community, so this is a pretty standard thing.
Yeah, 3,500 people. You know, everyone knows everybody. And, you know, so the college wasn't the pushback. The pushback was, hey, mom, I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
And go for it. And she actually said this, and I know she meant it with every ounce of love that she has. She goes, your dad would roll over in his grave.
Oh, that had to hurt.
Right. And it's like, ugh, right. And I knew she was doing it from a point of protecting me, right? Everybody does. And it's all she knew. But, you know, at the same time, she absolutely supported me in it because I was just persistent. I was like, this isn't, you know, I told her, I said, I feel like a caged animal and, you know, sitting in it, I had it all by everyone else's standards, but it wasn't fulfilling. And, you know, I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And finally I spent, you know, $15,000 on a coaching program. And I actually had to borrow it from my mom and it took me a minute to, you know, convince her of that. And I didn't tell anybody I did that because I had to drive to Chicago, which was 200. So I moved back to my area in Indiana, and I would drive 200 miles round trip every Thursday and every other Saturday for 3 years, going to these masterminds to be around people that were in the business. Because I had no network. I was a very shy individual. I didn't speak to people. I didn't know. I didn't have social skills. And so anytime I was around these people, I would just break out in a sweat, stutter, stammer. My mind would go blank. And I really didn't talk to anybody for almost 2 years. I would show up and learn, you know, it was just everything I had just go there.
This was a set of skills that you needed to learn.
Right. And so I was very good at finance. Huh. And I was like, why isn't this making me money? And so I didn't have the social skills of, you know, making friends, you know, being around high net worth individuals or any of that stuff. And so I just forced myself, and there was this social anxiety I had. And so I just kept going and going, but I didn't tell any of my friends because I knew my belief in myself wasn't there yet. And I didn't want to get made fun of. I didn't want to say, hey, I got scammed, you know, all of that stuff that goes with it, the proverbial crabs in the bucket. And so I just kept to myself, made my trip every Thursday, every other Saturday. And, you know, eventually I was able to quit my job, and then I had the conviction in myself, and then I started sharing it with everybody because I knew no one was going to sway me from my course.
Again, there's so many themes I'm hearing coming out from your story. Self-belief seems to be an incredibly important part of it, but also that almost grim determination, you know, that whole thing of you would drive that 100 miles two ways on such a regular basis. And I'm guessing it wasn't in a premium European car with nice suspension when you're doing it.
It was in a Saturn that I got from my friend's yard and had to, you know, I had to put air in the tire every time I drove it. I had to put antifreeze in. It had no heat, no radio. But man, it was, you know,
Chicago winters with no heat.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, Chicago winter. The winters weren't as bad because you had the motor heat would blow off.
Oh, but gosh,
the lack of air conditioning in the summer. I remember just stuck in traffic, sweating, like, oh, it was so embarrassing, right? And then I have to go in and I have to change my clothes when I got to the meeting because I was just just full of sweat. But you know, I did it.
I mean, well, I'm hearing a movie montage in my head here with the things that you went through. And you know, the process that you've gone through. When you're talking to people and when you're helping people and giving them your vision, I mean, and the comment today is, you know, you can have it all. To hit that point where you've got to today, you've clearly had to work incredibly hard and really put yourself on the line.
Absolutely. And so the thing that, you know, always kept me going was, you know, this internal dialogue with myself of, what does quit look like? Because trust me, I can tell you that the conversation, it's the self chatter is it worth it? What, you know, what am I playing this game for? You know, all of that. I mean, I've been heeled over in a ball crying because I didn't know what to do. You know, I remember one time I had looked over at a colleague and I said, I felt like I've been lied to because I was told if I work hard, I could have anything I want. And I can't work any harder and I don't have it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was, but the thing that kept me going was, what happens if I quit? And I couldn't answer that question. I said, I didn't even know what to do. And so, you know, at least if I stayed on the course, I had some intention, I had some purpose. And so that's the thing that kept me going.
That's really interesting. But now you're helping other people. So you've taken all that experience and all the success that you've had as a result of that. Tell me, how do you go about helping others achieve that, you know, objective of you can have it all?
Well, we have a real estate investing community that I started about 8 years ago, over 1,000 people, connected to an even larger group of 30,000+. And so what we do is I created a community with the intention of everyone coming together. Because if you think about it, you can't make money without other people. You have to have commerce requires other people. And the challenge is, you know, all these free meetups and these free events that I would go to is, you know, they meet once a quarter, once a month, at regular. And that I was seeking wisdom. I just wanted to be around people that was like, show me what making money looks like.
How do I do this? Yeah. Well, what is the reality? Yeah. What's the secret formula?
Right. And so do I need an office? Do I need a computer? Do I need a suit? Like, these are things that literally ran through my head as I was a young man. It was just like, what is it? And so as I figured it out myself, I said, people need that immersion to see. And so what I do is I have a morning call every day where my community members can hop on. We go over live deals and answer any questions that they have. So we call it the boardroom call. Mm-hmm. And so it's literally like sitting, we raise money, we analyze deals, we talk shop, we talk, solve problems, whatever it is our community members have. And we got people, you know, multimillionaires that don't need any more money, all the way down to, you know, people that they had to borrow the money to join my community, and everyone in between. And it's just such a diverse group of background. And that's what makes it fun. We have 40 to 60 people every day on my morning boardroom call. And we have other masterminds that have different intentions, but that's one of my favorite. And what I do is I help people understand that it's more than the mathematical aspect of making money, because I was very good at, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, but I sucked at the social skills, right? And I didn't even know about personal development. I remember the first time I heard the word personal development was when I was driving to my community, you know, during that 3 year time I was doing it. They'd have workshops every second week. They bring in a speaker, and this guy was a personal development speaker. And I literally sat in the front row crying for 5 hours because it was the first time in my life. I'm like, oh, there's the door that I haven't seen.
Light bulb moment for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just sob, you know, not like sob, you know, like the cry face. And,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so at the end of the presentation, they hand out their, you know, sign up for the coaching. And, you know, I took out my credit card and I signed up and I went up to him. I couldn't even talk because if I would have talked, I would have lost it. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, I pointed to my heart and I said, I love you. Thank you. and I gave him my form. And then I went to the library and I asked him, I said, do you have any books on personal development? And they go, you see that corner? I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's all personal development. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a thing. Why no one told me this? And I read the book. I remember, 10, 15 years later, it was The Power by, Rhonda Burns. It was a prequel to The Secret. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, this is incredible. And then I read The Art of War. And then, you know, I started doing coaching. I've just been consuming books ever since. And, the one by Stephen Pressfield, not Latsu. I think I get those, you get The War of Art and The Art of War. It's a Stephen
Pressfield. Art of War is Sun Tzu, yeah.
Yeah. And so I just started learning that crazy thought, that crazy conversation in my mind wasn't me. And I was able to, in the War of Art, they call it the dragon, I forget how they articulate, but I'm like, oh my God, that voice isn't me. And I was able to separate that, those crazy conversations I have with myself from my desire to do better, from my desire to help people, from all of that. And every time it came in, I'm just like, oh, thanks for sharing. I'm not interested in listening today. And, I just, these little tricks. And yep. It was, and I put little stickers up on my car, on my phone, and just to remind me that voice is not me. And, it was a big deal. And so as I talk to people today, I really incorporate all of that into our coaching and our consulting is, you got to have a vision, and then you're going to deal with all of this stuff in your life. You're going to deal with family. You're going to deal with, just everything you can imagine. And it's not separate. It's one thing. If your family life sucks, guess what? You're not going to be empowered when you come to the office. You're not going to be empowered when you come to this call. And I actually pay for high-end personal development for my entire team, because I know if they're not empowered, they're going to bring that to my community. And so we've been on, three and a half years. So we call it the 10 conversations. And this time is, what if? Like, what if, we just, it's an inquiry of oneself. And so you get to discover whatever it is that you need to discover to get to that next step in your life.
So it sounds really interesting. You've got this whole community, and it's not just a case of, hey, we've got people on board, but constantly everybody's developing, everybody's improving, and you're putting that effort in. I've done a lot of work with people who are classed as neurodivergent, so people with ADHD as an example. And so there are the whole concept of there are just things that some people aren't good at, organizational side. But when it comes to, say, some of the creative side or getting into the numbers, then they can be brilliant at that sort of thing. Do you recommend making sure that people partner up? Because you've already talked about community. Are there times when you say, hey, look, this is never going to be you. You're never going to be the front guy, front of house. Let's partner you up with somebody who can help you with that.
Yeah. And so I want to define the word partner, because I have the same, one of my mentors said, Zach, the only ship that is designed to sink is a partnership.
Oh, I do like that.
Oh man. And I've been through it as partnerships, and so today I have a different opinion. I partner with people, but I want to define what that looks like. Is it'll be on a project base, right? It'll be on a let's say we have a property we're going to partner on. I'll partner with them on it. We'll split it, equity, right? But I do have a couple partnerships. One partnership with a friend where we own it 50-50 in a business. What I've learned over the years is, especially starting out in this, I remember my first time I was partnered with somebody. I was supposed to be the workhorse because I didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be the money and the relationship capital, right?
Sounds good so far.
Right. And then he didn't have any money. He wasn't putting the money in. And so then I started funding it because I started making a little bit of money. And then he wasn't doing really anything, but he wanted half of the business still. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so as a young man, I didn't know how to have hard conversations, and that just kept progressing. But it came from a place of not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do today is I'll say, Richard, I got this project. This is what I need. Can you do it? Cool. Here's our agreement. I'll pay you X percentage from it. right? And so it's more of a contractual aspect mm-hmm. of it. So that way, if it doesn't work out, you know, we can part ways and still be friends, as opposed to, you know, I've had partners steal from me. I've had, I mean, I could go through the items of all the stuff I've had happen to me. But, you know, it all comes from lack of experience. It all comes from lack of proper due diligence of the person I'm partnering with, you know, so there's plenty of learning opportunity there. But, you know, what I tell people is I say, find what you're great at. And so I was great at finance, and then I became great at sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, and know your worth. And, you know, and so I gave away a lot of my value as a new person to this. And I still do, because I have a heart to help people. But every time I give something away like that, it's at the cost of my life, at the cost of my dreams. And so, you know, it's this delicate balance. And so if you're listening to this, I say, you know your skill set, find your worth, and then find somebody else that needs what you have. And then, you know, if you're a back end person, find somebody that's great at sales. And then, you know, if you ever read the book Traction, I would call myself today as a visionary. And I found an integrator, and oh my gosh, rocket fuel. And so you're somebody's solution out there, but you have to understand what your superpower is.
Very interesting. When you're working with people initially, what is the most common mistake that you see them making?
They don't have vision. They don't have vision. They won't take the time to create. You know, I went through this myself. It's like, I just want to make money, right? I just want to make money. And I'm like, okay, you're going to drive this machine. Where are you pointing it?
Yep.
Where are we going? And $10,000 a month, arbitrary number. And I go, okay, what's the purpose of this? Right. What's, because you'll lose out. I mean, money, it helps at the beginning, but once you start making enough money, it's like, you know, I remember sitting on a beach in Dominican Republic. I was traveling for a year. I had money. I was helping people, and I was traveling the world. My three big things. And I got on a call with my coach, and I was not depressed, but sort of just bummed out. And yeah, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of it. Was Zach, you quit asking what's next, right? And so it's like, you get to the destination, it's like, well, now what? Now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? And so I have a now what that's so big, it'll be the rest of my life. And that's empowered people to have an amazing life. And so people, they don't have that vision. They don't have that. And then, you know, they don't know their finances. And so when we help people start businesses, we have or scale businesses, I have a very methodical aspect to it is, let's get your finances in order, because that's your dashboard of your proverbial car, and understand your finances. And so that's my superpowers, is really finance. And then we say, okay, let's get your operations together, right? Because you're going to sell stuff. And if you can't deliver on it, I see people that are great at sales and marketing, but they cannot fulfill. And then we help people get their sales documented. And the last thing we do is marketing, because I can turn marketing up and jam a pipeline full of leads. But if the rest of that aspect isn't there, I mean, you're going to ruin your reputation. You're going to ruin everything else. And so I say people don't put enough emphasis on good bookkeeping, proper financial foundational stuff, and understanding it. You don't have to be a whiz at it, but you need to understand how to interpret the books. And so those are so vision and finance.
Very interesting. So if people were to take away one really important, one key message from the conversation today, what would it be?
Know why you get up every day, and, you know, have that vision, vision board, whatever, however you want to do it. I do this all the time with my team, and I enroll them into their vision. And so they don't come to work for Zach, they're working for their dream. And it just, you know, I treat them like, like they're subcontractors in my business. I say, if you do this, you're going to get a house, you're going to get that boat, you're going to get the whatever it is that you want. Here, let me show you how. And then I show them how, you know, working for me is going to get them more money. And then ultimately, I get what I want. But if you don't have that vision, if the whole crew isn't rowing the same direction, it's, you got a problem. And so have a great vision and inspire the heck out of people, pay them well, and get out of their way.
It's great advice. Zach, where can people find you and what projects do you have on the horizon that they should know about?
So you can, the best way to find me is my blog, indianaohlman.com. So IndianaOhlman. Yeah, it's, you know, it was based off of Indiana Jones.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
I said, I want to have adventures. You can have it all, right? You can have the adventures. You can have the motorcycle rides. You can check out all my blogs there and where I share business and just anything that's on my mind. And the two big projects I got right now is we have this beautiful business that is part of our portfolio. It's called Genius in 21 Days, where, you know, I was a student of them, and we teach people how to learn. It's the most incredible thing ever. We don't know how to use our brains at the most highest capacity, and all of this information, this data that we're bringing in today and the organization of it. And so it's the most life-changing course I've ever taken. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, the world needs this. And so we were partnering on that. And so we're really focused on that. The other big one is, I call it Finance Friday. It's my financial services business where I work with people that are starting businesses, all the way up to doing like fractional CFO equity shares. And so I'm looking for people to help specifically around their finances with the opportunity to potentially partner with them on that as well.
Sounds like some really cool stuff. Well, Zach, that's been really fascinating. I wish we had more time because it sounds like you've got some amazing stories there, but it's been great. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
Well, that's a wrap on another awesome guest episode for the Evolvepreneur After Hours show. Just before you go, if you like this episode, we would be very grateful for a 5-star review. Please also consider recommending the show to a friend or two. Make sure you subscribe for future episodes at evolvepreneursecrets.show right now. Until next time, I'm Richard Ray, and if you're an entrepreneur, make a start on your next great idea today.